Okay, this hour, the final hour with Cindy Dale. We'll take your phone calls, your stories, as we talk about subtle energy and how you can change your life. Welcome back, Cindy Dale with us. Cindy, how often do you have to keep pushing this and trying and practicing to keep your energy level up to where it is?
I think it's not about pushing, which is good. It's really more about consistency, and just being really aware without being obsessive, you know, that we are about energy. So I'm constantly adapting as I go through the day, you know, and just give permission for whatever you might want to call your own spirit, your true self, my inner self, you know, to just kind of fill in with nature, with what I'm doing. I walk around a lot. When I do client work, I walk around on the phone. That actually, like, keeps my energy up, to be honest. So I think it's just about consistency and being kind of aware when you're feeling drained. You don't have to get mad at the environment or the people around you if you're feeling drained. You know, it's just really much more about saying, okay, what can I do about it? What do I need to think about, picture, see, bring in? We're generating energy from the inside of ourselves to the outside of ourselves all the time anyway. So we're not supposed to be just environmentally dependent or constantly fluctuating depending on the moods of the people around us. You know, it's like each chakra energy center has like a little white star in the center of it, you know, bringing universal energy in through us. So a lot of times I just pay attention to that. I just make sure those doorways or gateways are open and I have as much energy as I need for just about anything.
Why does stress deplete your energy?
Because of our patterns and our programs. Stress is just a way of life. Stress is about life, you know, and people even say that. There's good stress, there's bad stress. Stress is just change. That's all it is. It's just the unexpected. You know, it's that we don't know how to remain fluid and keep opening to the subtle energy that we need, whether it's generated from inside of us or we bring it in from nature, you know, or bring in some happy thoughts. So what we do is we shut down and contract instead of open up and generate, and that's why it depletes us. You're not going to avoid stress.
No, that's part of living.
I think they're going to. Yep. I remember one client, she's probably 60. She really actually, you know, has a pretty darn good life, you know, who I broke the news the other day and said, you know, things are going to keep happening. You're not going to be able to stop things from happening. You know, people are going to be mean once in a while. Your car's not going to start once in a while. And she was like, you mean the end result of this isn't like just ease? And it's like, it's ease inside, but life is life. So keep opening, bring the subtle energy in and through.
If your attitude is good, mm-hmm. will things come your way?
I believe absolutely. And you know what? There's even studies that show that. I'm back to talking about Institute of Heart Math that has, you know, fairly conclusive evidence that when somebody's in an appreciative mode, they're healthier, happier, good attitude, they're liked more. For real, it shows, the studies show that they're liked more, and people are more apt to do things for them, you know, or want to help them. So things will come your way. Subtle energy-wise, think of it this way. If you're open, if your subtle energy is open, if your chakras are open, your energy fields are open, you're emanating positive thoughts, what's the world going to match up with you? It's resonance, but positive situations. Even negative situations can then be transformed, you know, into something that can actually work for you.
Okay.
Yeah, it works all the time.
Let's go to the phones. They're piling up for you, Sam.
Okay, I'm glad. That's great.
Let's start with Shara in Sacramento, California. Hi there, Shara. Welcome back to the show.
Hi, George. Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I have a two-parter. I wanted to ask your guest about the handling of energy, processing of energy after periods of mourning. Wow. And I'll give a little background on this. A few years ago, I went through a period of, in a couple of years, people were dropping dead around me like flies. Some were older family members that died very old of, you know, natural causes. Some were young. died tragically. Some are very close. Some are just neighbors or colleagues. But it was something like 30 people in 2 years.
And then I became
very deathly ill and was practically knocked on death's door myself. And I'm just, you know, I've been working on my own energy healing, natural medicine, like we were talking about earlier tonight, and doing better. And I'm currently trying to disentangle myself from the vampire situation and move on. But I wanted to ask about properly processing those grief energies. And then my second part is, we talk about cutting negative people out of your life. But, you know, with, I just lost my favorite singer and songwriter this week, Chris Cornell, battling
depression. Oh, that was sad. Mm, yep.
Yeah.
Hung himself.
Yes. And so how do we be there for people who can be kind of downers? And how do we not alienate them to make them feel like they don't want to be a burden and that they can come to us without dragging us down?
Those are fantastic questions. And I am really sorry you've gone through so much in just a few short years. You know, losing 30 people, losing one, you know, is really a challenge, because our connections to people, by and large, are based on love. And so when somebody dies, even if we believe and know that they're on some other plane or on the other side, they're not here with us, and we're physical beings. So, you know, we're going to be sad, we're going to be angry, we're going to have those, you know, kind of different types of feelings. And if you're losing multiple people, you've got all kinds of feelings about all kinds of situations and all kinds of memories, you know, that at some level need to be processed and come up as well. And I know you've been doing this, is you feel the feelings. You have to follow the feelings, however, to their natural end. So, you know, each feeling actually in the end, when we really flow with it, can result in some kind of joy, and I don't mean happiness. You know, so if we let ourselves feel the sadness that we feel, you know, sooner or later we're going to get it to a place of recognizing, you know what, I was loved, and I do love. You know, if we go with our anger, sooner or later we get to a point of needing to establish some boundaries or making some new decisions. Like, you know, in this regard, my life needs to move on. Or, you know, this is what I need now to do. If we follow our fear, like something like this could happen to me, life really isn't safe. You know, we get to a point where we go, you know what, I am safe until the lack of safety occurs, and I have a system that's set up within me, a limbic system, set up to help me move forward, backwards, sideways. So any feeling, you know, can in the end bring up more awareness of what we do have to be joyous. So we want to hang in there with the feelings until we get that sense of serenity, appreciation, gratitude. And I'm not trying to sound Pollyanna, because I've had grief too. And, you know, it's just sort of lousy until you get to those sort of breakthroughs, you know, but also let yourself get there. The other thing to be aware of as well is when somebody dies, the doorway opens. There's multiple doorways between this side and the other side. And so we also want to pay attention to this question. Did part of me leave with that person? Is part of my soul helping them on the other side? Am I stretching to the other side a little bit too much? So I'm losing some of my vital energy, my physical energy, my everyday energy. I worked with a Vietnam vet one time who had multiple physical conditions. He had lost a lot of people in an IED, you know, really suddenly. And he figured out that he was still connected to a lot of their souls and feeling a lot of their grief and pain for them to help them have less burdens, you know, when they went to the heavens. So we had to separate out so they could be where they were and there can be a love connection, you know, and he wasn't carrying their feelings and grief or the feelings and grief of those, you know, kind of who are still living, right, about them, you know, and not shut the doorway, but separate out the energy. So I think that that could be very helpful for you, is just to probe that area a little bit, like make sure your energy is all here. You're not absorbing everybody else's grief, right? Whether it's the passed aways, you know, or the living, you know, because again, you just can't process what's not yours. Which sort of leads to your second question, to be honest, which is how to be around negative people.
Who wants to be?
Well, you don't. It's really hard, isn't it? You know, it is really hard, and I think most of us do avoid it, but there are situations where it is what it is. Maybe they're a parent or a good friend who's going through a tough time. You know, there's times that even if we limit our contact, we're just going to be around that. And I go back to eighth grade biology. You know, energy moves from, kind of more density to less density, fills in a vacuum. So you don't want to be just empty or wide open inside and have that kind of cloudy energy move into your system. There's a lot of different energy techniques you can use. You know, make sure you're filled with light. Make sure you're generating your own light from the inside of you. So you're like a mini sun generating energy from outside of you. You know, if you're the sun, ain't nothing going to get into the sun, right? You know, you got those beams of light coming out. It burns out in orbit. You know, it just can't come in. Fill yourself. Obviously, limit contact when you need to. Have a few stock phrases. I'm a very practical person, too. You know, you don't want to get caught in problem solving, because when somebody's really in a downer, they probably don't want you problem solving. They may just want to feel bad to some extent. Reframe it if you can. Like, it sounds like you're really feeling bad about this. Is there a different way you can look at it? Or what do you need? You know, do what you need to do to remain separate, both on the subtle level, and on the physical level, and keep empowering them, to see it different, look at it different, and feel it different. And some people aren't going to take that in. They're not going to want to change. They're just not going to go there. So sometimes then the best thing you can do is just repeat what they're going through. But it's really our responsibility, though it's hard, to maintain our own energy level in the face of all that. There are studies that show the more magnetic energy you have within you and around you, the less apt you are to take on other people's negative moods or their illnesses or adapt to what pessimism, they're revealing. So it sounds goofy. Use magnets. Picture magnetic energy. Again, picture yourself like the sun, and maintain those kind of standards for yourself.
All right, let's go to Vicki in St. Louis. Welcome to the show. Hi, Vicki.
Hi, I finally got through. I love you.
Perfect.
Thanks for taking my call. I have stage 4 cancer, insomnia. I'm being attacked by parasites all the time. Mm-hmm. I'm having financial difficulties and a lot of job loss. And I just want to improve my life. I want to type into my proper chakras. Improve my life while I'm here on Earth, and improve my energy and my psychic abilities. I don't know where to go.
Well, good for you. You know what? Small changes can make a really big difference. All right? That's the first thing. Mm-hmm. Think about the whole definition of subtle energy or spiritual or psychic energy. It's small. It's teeny, teeny, tiny. If you let in just one positive so-called subtle energy, that can have as much energy as a star can. So, it's in our physical universe, we look at the bigness of what we have to tackle, and it can seem insurmountable. And I want to say, just start small. And this is going to sound weird, but start with your feet, all right? Energy that can come in from nature. I call it elements, elemental energy, subtle elemental energy, various sorts of Eastern medicines around the world. Mayan medicines have talked about our health, our temperament, our way to do life is all based on if we can let these subtle elements into our system, body, mind, and soul, so that they can improve matters and get our energy working for us. Think of your feet. Imagine that you're bringing in, that there's a spiritual guide or your own spirit bringing into your feet, up through your legs, into that hip area. That's where the flame of life is, up and through the spine, all the subtle elements that you need. As you do that, your system will be able to better metabolize minerals, burn out the toxins, clean out what needs to be cleaned out. I would start with that. I think somebody could do an entire life change, makeover, healing practice, just bringing those subtle elements in. It doesn't matter if you even know what they are. It's fire, earth, water, air, star. I mean, there's all kinds of subtle elements. Just ask for whatever you need to start coming up through your feet. Make sure it comes all the way up through your spine. because you need to feed your energy, the subtle energy, so your physical energy gets what it needs.
You mean like meditating?
You can meditate. I don't care if you do some trance. I don't care if you chant. I don't meditate. I walk my dogs. You know, every morning at like 5:30, I take my dogs to the park. They run around. I walk around. I sing. I hum. You know, I bring energy up inside of me, and I've got energy for the rest of the day. So it is meditative, but it doesn't matter what you're doing while you're concentrating on bringing that energy up.
Okay.
All right. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Cindy, where do we get these little books?
Oh, they're on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. They're just such fun little books. My last book, I was on your TV show not long ago, mm-hmm. with 1,200 pages. These are so much more handable.
They really are.
They are. It's Llewellyn's Little Book of Chakras. It's jam-packed. It's very pint-sized with all this super cool information about chakras and techniques. Then the first in my series called The Essential Energy Library, called Subtle Energy Techniques. That's on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and certain more New Agey bookstores, I'm sure, too, or Barnes & Noble, Subtle Energy Techniques. I love that book. It's going to give you really, really easy practices, and the one that I just talked about with Vicki about using the subtle elements is in there. And I'm a real believer, you know, in bringing in those subtle components of the world.
Since you've been doing this, how many people do you think you have helped healing-wise?
I really do think it's been like 65,000.
We're going to update. We're going to update your resume here.
Yeah, you do. You know what? One of the books came out with 35 and it was wrong. The other has 65 and it's right. But you know what? It really, in the end, is just what it is. I have been so fortunate to have worked with and met a lot of people, and to have been able to travel to work with various people in various countries too, both to learn from them, you know, and offer what I have to offer as well. And so it's, you know, it's just been a really exciting journey.
All right. Well, stay with us, Cindy. We're going to come back in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM and take some final phone calls for you. Folks, don't forget to like us on Facebook, if you will. And follow us on Twitter. You can do all that by going to coasttocoastam.com. Need to email me? I haven't given this out in a while. george@coasttocoastam.com. And also don't forget to go to our website quite often and look at all the various events and things and happenings that are going on. Don't forget July 29th, our live stage show in Everett, Washington. Okay, welcome back to Coast to Coast. George Norrie with you along with Sydney Dale. Cindy, when you've been doing this, and I assume you were born with a gift, weren't you?
I was. Even when I was in the womb, I have memories, you know, of hearing my parents, seeing energy, sound waves coming in through the womb. And, you know, I frequently, you know, tell people that many of the physical conditions I have had to heal in my body, I think, originated right back there. You know, I could literally hear them fighting, see the sound waves coming through the womb. Everywhere those angry sound waves struck, I have had some sort of physical challenge or disorder, you know, and have had to clear what you would call those subtle energies. So, you know, I guess that woke me up.
Have you ever encountered a problem because of this gift?
You know, mainly in that because I've been so open, until I got a handle on my boundaries, I was constantly feeling people's feelings, feeling their pain, not knowing if I had a physical pain or if it was somebody else's physical pain, you know, getting voices in my head that were like, I don't want to hear this. So it was really more of a lack of boundaries. When I started therapy when I was 19, 20 years old, what I really glommed onto was this whole idea of boundaries. Of course, they were talking about psychological boundaries, but I took the same concept and applied it to the subtle world to say, I need subtle boundaries. I have to have energetic boundaries, and that has helped me immensely. Besides that, I think the biggest problems are what people assume if they find out that I do energy work or intuitive work. You know, they think I'm reading their mind.
Sure.
They think I'm weird.
Aren't you?
I don't want it. You know what? They can read their own mind. I'm sorry.
No, aren't you weird? I'm kidding.
Well, I am weird, but I think that's actually what we're all supposed to be striving for.
All right, let's go to final calls here for you. Let's go to Robert in the city of New York. Hey, Robert, go ahead, sir.
Hi, good morning, George. How are you?
Good, Rob. Thank you.
You're more than welcome. Hi, Cindy. Good morning.
Hi, Robert. Nice to talk with you.
Nice to talk with you. You're a burst of energy at 4:30 here in
the... She really is.
I have my tea. I'm a big believer
She's
in caffeinated
wired.
Tea.
That's fantastic. It's good to talk to you. Both of you, George, I love your show.
Thank you.
Tommy's doing a great job.
Oh, he's keeping us going, isn't he?
He's the greatest. He is a gem. Cindy, many years ago, I had a traumatic thing happen to me. It was really horrific. I went blind.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
And the family that I have left, mm-hmm. my folks are gone. Mm-hmm. My sister is still around. But it was so much negative energy mm-hmm. and blaming mm-hmm. that you were just talking about boundaries. It took me a real long time. This is easily a dozen years ago.
Yeah.
But I really had to wave the white flag and say, you know what? Enough. I was making excuses for her. Why is she in a bad mood? And I had to say, I had to step out of that and say, you know what? I'm done making excuses. This particular person is so wrapped up in negative energy and putting it on me.
Right.
And to this day, I'm so much better. It's a hole in my heart that I don't have this relationship with my sister, you know?
Mm, yeah, of course. Because you want the love that's there to show up in everyday life.
And not manifest.
Not able to. Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, Cindy, I didn't mean to interrupt, but not manifest itself in blaming and guilt.
Right.
And it was brutal. It took me many years of being in therapy to develop this aura light around myself to protect myself from vampires, emotional vampires.
And there are many out there.
For sure. Absolutely.
How did you lose your sight, Robert?
It was glaucoma. It's one of these things that I had no clue what it was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not an ophthalmologist. I don't know what the telltale signs are.
Did you just wake up one day and you were blind?
No, George. How else can I explain this? It was over a number of times. My eyesight was getting blurry.
Okay, I see.
Mm-hmm. My eyesight was getting blurry. I went to an ophthalmologist. He put my face in this machine, blew some warm air into my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And the receipt shot out of the machine.
And he
said, you know, your blood pressure behind your eyes are through the roof.
Yeah.
And I said, well, what do I do? So I was prescribed blood pressure pills and eat bananas and do all sorts of stuff. I wasn't living in the States at the time. I was living in the Caribbean, quite honestly. And I had to get back to the States, and I thought my family would be, well, my only living person left was my sister.
And you could still see at that point?
Oh, no, George, I was totally blind.
You were gone. Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, it's all the optics, not fiber optics, but the stuff behind the eyeballs.
The optic nerves.
Optic nerves,
uh-huh.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That were damaged. So here I am, I'm 55 years old back then, and I had to get back to the States, and everybody I thought I could count on were all doing this guilt trip, beating me up, it's my fault. And when I was living in the Caribbean, everybody was all over me. What can we do for you? Can we take you out? Do you have to pay your bills? Do you have to go shopping? I get back to the States where very few of my family members are left. This particular woman, there was so much anger and so much...
Nah, you don't need that.
I know. So it took me a real long time to develop, like Cindy was saying, get the borders set up. get my ducks in a row. It was brutal. It was brutal to this day. I must tell you, it's...
You pulled through it.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Thank you for saying that, George. Yes, I did.
And it takes bravery to do that, because we do have that sort of mythology and that hope that family is really going to be family. But, I mean, many people, as you have found, often that's worse. You know, because we do share energy, we share genetics, we share, you know, the same upbringing, we share energy fields with family. And so sometimes what happens when somebody really dislikes themselves in their lives, you know, is like when somebody else is perceived to get weaker, like you were vulnerable, right, which is when you should be loved more and assisted, it's more like they go, oh my God, at least subconsciously, you know, this is a way I can jettison, I can get rid, you know, of all my pain, all my shame, all my this and that, you know, blaming is shame being projected onto somebody else. And so, you know, you're seen as wounded. So, you know, she projected what she didn't want to deal with onto you. And you have no choice at that point but to dissociate, build yourself up, say, I'm worth more than this. Everybody's worth more than this. You know, and sometimes those shields do need to be physical. And like you're also saying, you've got to develop that field, the auric field. You know, because family members in specific can even, you know, kind of reach you across time and space. You can just suddenly feel bad, you know, and find out later that a family member was thinking bad things about you. So, like, I really applaud you working on that subtle level. You know, Robert, I'm also curious, is like when you went blind, did you develop more of your spidey senses, like your sense of awareness, these sort of subtle awarenesses as well?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All the other senses were on steroids.
That's right.
It's a crappy way to put it. They're not on steroids. But I was way more sensitive to touch, tactile, smell, taste, hearing.
Everything was illuminated, practically. Cindy, I got to move on to take a couple more calls here.
Perfect. Thanks,
before
Robert.
We run out of time. But he's a trooper, isn't he?
Yes. Thank you, Robert. Yep. A good model for all of us.
Let's go to Constantine in Northern California now, west of the Rockies. Hi there, Constantine. Go ahead.
Hey, George and Cindy. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
Cindy, I wanted your take from the point of view of energy medicine and subtle energies as far as memory goes. And what I mean by that is more and more brain research is telling us that the brain is a receiver.
Mm-hmm.
And we obviously need to keep it healthy, the physical material, through, you know, good nutrition and exercise, good attitude, et cetera. But there's something else going on, and that, you know, we've been informed through out-of-body research and near-death experiences that even without the body, there's a memory that's entrained to the soul, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just wondering just what your take is on memory and the soul and the body and how to care for it from the point of view of energy medicine.
Absolutely fantastic question. I could riff on it forever. We don't have that much time, but it's so cool. In my sort of particular model, I think of our spirit as our immortal self. The soul is that part of the spirit that travels experience to experience, lifetime to lifetime, you know, to learn about love, and you got to learn kind of the hard way and the easy way, you know, as well. And I think the soul has like a part of it that's almost like a computer that I would call the non-local mind. And so the mind is, to me, carried by the soul lifetime after lifetime or in between lifetimes. And before we're born, that gets programmed into the body, not just the brain, but through the central nervous system, you know, various parts of the body, like vision is laid down actually in the body. You know, the brain's sort of the host of that. You know, but that brain, you know, because it's electromagnetic, it's a sound machine, it actually does receive information, you know, kind of from outside of itself, as you were pointing out, you know, is really sort of the physical receptacle for the mind. And our mind can connect with other minds. So that tool of the brain, depending on its health, I mean, interestingly, depending on really odd things like how many wrinkles are on it, the more wrinkles on your brain, the better off you are, you know, and the more glial cells you have that are working, those are, you know, sort of communicative sort of nerves within the body that relate to the heart as well, and psychic senses. You know, kind of the better all of that is working and interweaving, the more I believe we can connect with our mind and external minds as well. So that's how I see it from sort of a esoteric and anatomical point of view.
What do curses have to do with any of these subtle energies?
Well, you know what? Curses are real energy. There's all kinds of energetics. They're made out of subtle energy that can be cast upon a person, or we can cast on other people, that limit our energetic functions. They are typically made out of subtle energy. We receive them usually from outside of ourselves or from a family system. There's something called cords, which are attachments like contracts that look like garden hoses between people. And there's energetic knots. But these are all concepts that talk from the subtle energy perspective that say we can get our subtle energy stolen or blocked, or we can become, you know, sort of garbage cans for other subtle energy when we've got those kind of contraptions impacting us. Curses are sort of these convoluted energetics that are usually given directly to somebody then that passed down through a family or the gender in a family, you know, that are over chakras or auric fields to say there's going to be a limitation here. And we don't even know that we're under a curse most of the time. My youngest son had a curse. He had major, major illnesses for 2 years. No one could figure it out. It was connected to an entity from his family's side of the family. We released the entity, released the curse. Now I could get him a CAT scan that showed the problem, had surgery, and it cleared up the problem. So we still did something physical. I'm not saying you don't do physical activities to help ourselves be better. But when subtle energy is blocking or shadowing what's occurring, you've got to shift the subtle energy to figure out what's happening in physical reality.
Cindy, with just about a minute or so left, give us your website, if you would, and where we can get these books.
Absolutely. It's cindydale.com. My name is spelled weird, CYNDIDALE.com. Just go on there, learn a little bit about me. Subtle energy techniques, little bit of chakras, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Those are published through Llewellyn, and they're out there.
You have fun doing this, too, don't you?
Oh, I love what I do. I do. I love learning. And there's so much to learn in this field. I would love to have another 100 years just to keep learning, because there's so much being discovered, too.
What is next for you?
I'm finishing up a clairaudient book, and then I'm going to turn to fiction. I want to work on fiction. So I've got some children's books started and young adults, and I've got some adult books started, and I really want to learn how to write fiction.
All right, Cindy, good luck to you. Keep in touch, and until our paths cross again.
Thank you, George. Bye, everybody.
Cindy Dale. Website, of course, linked up at coasttocoastam.com, talking about her books called The Little Book of Chakras and Subtle Energy Techniques. Hey, you know what? Change your energy, you'll change your life. Trust me about that. Great programs for you for the rest of the week, so stick with us here on Coast to Coast AM. You will love them all. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Morrison, George Knapp. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.